Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is March 8th, 2024. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Witch Way Magazine. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Everyone has talent. What's rare is the courage to follow it to the dark places where it leads," by Erica Young. So we're talking tulips, and we've talked the lore, the history, the magical. So today we're talking about benefits, which I don't know. I have no idea if it has benefits such as like antioxidants or vitamins, and like, are they poisonous? I have no idea. So we're going to figure it out. So this comes to us from bloomingtulips.com.au. In this article, they delve into the potential health benefits of tulips. However, it is important to note that while the potential benefits of tulips are intriguing, further research is, of course, needed to conclusively show their medicinal properties and establish health benefits, basically. So once antioxidants, tulip bud essential oils are abundant source of antioxidant compounds that play a crucial role in the body's defense against onslaught of harmful free radicals. It's also an antiseptic. Compounds inherent in tulip blooms may possess remarkable antimicrobial properties. Digestive harmony. Tulip blooms may harbor compounds that hold promise for digestive health. They can help with cardiovascular health. And yeah, it's pretty compelling. But of course, you know, you want to seek guidance of a medical professional before, you know, trying to consume anything, especially flowers, because you don't know which parts are like okay to consume and which aren't. So we're not suggesting that, but just, you know, be cautious. But pretty neat. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from hometownsource.com. History grant will fund oral history of Wiccan Church by John Gressner. So growing up in Eagan, Renata Capone was a preteen when she started studying witchcraft. Westcott Library was a fertile source of knowledge. Quote, "They had a surprisingly large number of books on the subject," said Capone, now 39. "I would ride my bike there, and I may have read most of the books they had on the subject." The Eagan Resident Scholarship in the spiritual milieu known as paganism continues. The Cultural Archive of Modern Paganism, which Capone co-founded, was recently awarded a $9,830 grant to document the history of the Wiccan Church of Minnesota through oral interviews. The grant is one of 36 small grants recently awarded by the Minnesota Historical Society, which funding from the Legacy Amendments Arts and Cultures Heritage Fund. Capone co-founded the Cultural Archive of Modern Paganism with her friend and research partner, Dr. Murphy Pizza, a cultural anthropologist, oral historian, ethnographer who wrote a dissertation that became a book, Paganiston, the nickname for the Twin Cities pagan community. The organization, which incorporated this year as a nonprofit, received another grant in July to create archival collection policies. That's really cool and good for them. I love that people are going through the efforts to keep the history of paganism and witchcraft alive. That's really, really cool. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, March 8th. The waning crescent moon moves from the staccato of Aquarius to the smooth jazz of Pisces today. Here, the moon conjuncts Venus. Both the moon and Venus are in Aquarius, and with this conjunction, we are embracing our weirdness. All of our quirks and peccadilloes are what make us the unique and beautiful snowflakes that we are, and this energy is all about celebrating that in ourselves and in our loved ones. So take some time today to tell a friend or a partner or even your neighbor about one of those lovely little idiosyncrasies that really endears them to you. You may just make their whole day. Your daily moon mantra is, happiness is not the result of what you get, but what you give. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Attention, witches! This is Nina Moreau broadcasting a special alert from the Grimoire Society. We ask that witches please remember to subscribe to the new monthly newsletter. While we love psychically sending you every spell, recipe, penny dreadful, and conjure advice that we have, spirit representatives have asked that we cease clogging up the ether. We have contracted a special team of messenger pigeons to deliver your monthly newsletter directly to your doorstep. For only $5, you can sign up for this elusive serial at www.thegrimoiresociety.com. Remember, this notice is for witches only. If you are not a witch and have somehow come across this broadcast, you will forget all that you've heard in 3, 2...
All right, we are back. So we're talking about Harry Houdini. Now, this is Friday, so it's our encyclopedia day. And I came across Harry Houdini in my Encyclopedia of Occultism and Parapsychology. Now, if you're like, Tanya, he performed magic tricks of like rabbits coming out of hats. Like, why are we talking about him? Harry Houdini had it out for con mediums. And he essentially dedicated his death to proving that a lot of the mediums during the spiritualism movement were frauds. And you know what? I respect the passion. Like, I get it. I get it. Like, it's so frustrating when you – and he really did have kind of like a behind-the-scenes look. He was an illusionist, right? So he could tell when people were – being shifty and illusionists, and he probably didn't like that people were getting scammed out of it. He was like, I probably charge a $5 ticket to see my show, and you're, you know, possibly capitalizing on people's grief. Like, that's not cool. So he really, really did not like con mediums. And back in during the spiritualism movement, it was huge problem. It started with the Fox sisters, who were proven cons, and it would continue with people kind of consuming and then like regurgitating slimy cheesecloth, saying that it was like ectoplasm. Like, I mean, it was pretty rampant. And Harry Houdini, who had like dedicated his life to illusionist magic, was just like, these people, no. So he dedicated his whole death to finding these people out to be frauds. So we're going to talk about him. So Harry Houdini, born Ivrik Heiss, he later changed his name to Houdini and became the most sensational escapologist of modern history. He was born March 24th, 1874 in Budapest, Hungary, and brought to Appleton, Wisconsin as a child, although he later claimed to have been born on April 6th. His mother, the security of American citizenship, His mother had always celebrated this date, possibly to give the child the security of American citizenship. Weiss began his professional life as a trapeze performer. He went on to become the foremost conjuring magician and escapologist. Weiss derived the name Houdini from Jean-Eugène Robert Houdini, a famous French illusionist who took pride in exposing fake performers of religious marvels. That is interesting. So I'm wondering if Harry Houdini did that on purpose or if it's like one of those weird fated things. So he took on the name Houdini because it was the name of a famous French illusionist. And he was probably like, that's for me. It's like a new witch author using the pen name Cunningham. It's like, a nod to someone they respected who did similar work, right? But it's really interesting that Jean Eugène took pride in exposing fake performers, because Houdini would end up doing the same thing. Houdini was similarly very proud of amazing feats and spent many years exposing so-called spiritualist frauds. Although he undoubtedly unmasked some tricksters, his enthusiasm became almost a mania. He was a member of the committee appointed by the Scientific American to investigate the mediumship phenomena of Marjorie Mrs. M. Crandon in 1924. In his anxiety to prove fraud, Houdini himself was guilty of fraudulently tampering with his experiments. So this is something you can still look up. I think we published it in Which Way like years ago, but Scientific America wanted to prove some of these people frauds, and Houdini kind of started working with them to help them. But like this excerpt says, is it can get problematic, right? When you're so desperate to prove something, you can intentionally, unintentionally, desperately, who can say, fudge the numbers to get that thing you want so bad, but then you end up kind of hurting the integrity of the whole thing in the process, which we still see that happen today, right? We still see people do, you know, not cool things in the pursuit of doing what they think is the right thing, you know? Ironically enough, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, famous creator of Sherlock Holmes and an enthusiasm for spiritualism, claimed that some of Houdini's own incredible feats must be due to psychic or supernatural powers. Now, we've heard of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle before within our encyclopedia series, when we talked about the fairies, like the fairies that the little girls were photographing. It was him who really got people into that because he thought they were true. This infuriated Houdini and at one time caused a break in his longstanding friendship with Doyle, which you can totally see how that would happen, right? He's like, you're my friend. I work really hard at creating these illusions and they're not easy and they take like science and experiments and hard work, and you're just saying it's supernatural, like knock it off. Especially if he knew how Houdini felt about that sort of thing, you can see why that would cause a rift in their friendship. Houdini's uneasy feud with spiritualism persisted after his death, when various mediums claimed to convey messages from him lamenting his arrogant denunciation of spiritualism, but one message was quite different. Amongst the challenges which Houdini constantly issued to mediums was one which would operate only after his death. He stated that if spirit survival was possible, he would communicate with his wife Bess in a secret two-word code message known to no one else. A reward of $10,000 was offered for successfully communicating this coded message. So, and again, that passion, right? He's like, not only do I think you're all frauds, but I think you're all frauds to the extent that I'm willing to give you $10,000 and put this money aside for after my death to prove you're all wrong. I mean, I get it. As someone who feels very passionately about things, I get it. 3 years after Houdini's death, the medium Arthur Ford gave Bess Houdini a two-word message: Rosabelle, believe. In the special code used by Houdini and Houdini's in an early mind reading act, Rosabelle had been a pet name used by Houdini for his wife. Mrs. Houdini signed a statement that Ford was correct. This was witnessed by a UP reporter and an associate editor of the Scientific American. But 48 hours later, the New York Graphic stated that the story was untrue and that a reporter had perpetuated a hoax, possibly with the in like allegiance with Ford and Mrs. Houdini. The original scoop story evaporated in a confusion of charges, countercharges, denials, and Mrs. Houdini did not refer to the matter again in public. But the evidence favors the original claim that Arthur Ford really did break the Houdini code by a mediumistic message from the beyond. Now, that's really fascinating because as far as I knew, no medium had yet to decipher the code. But now it's saying that this guy did, and that Mrs. Houdini possibly signed off on it, and that she's never spoken on it. So that's really fascinating. So Houdini wrote some books, including The Right Way to Do Wrong, The Unmasking of Robert Houdin, A Magician Among the Spirits, and a book about his exploits, The Secrets of Houdini, by magician J.C. Cannell. So that's interesting. I guess my question I pose to all of you is, do you think Ford successfully cracked the code? You know? Or is Houdini very happily resting peacefully in his grave, knowing no one ever will? What's really fascinating is if you go to survivalafterdeath.info/article/Ford/Houdini.htm, you can actually read an article written by author Ford, who claimed to have broken this code, and read all of his explanations as to how he did it. So if that interests you, if that's fascinating to you, definitely check it out. If you don't want to type all that in, you can Google the Houdini two-word code Ford, which is what I did, and it's like the third link, survivalafterdeath.info. Check it out if that's like interesting to you. But I think it's, I don't know. I guess I'm curious to know what all of your thoughts are, you know? All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of The Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to Lisa McGinnis. Lisa, you dreamlike, mystical leprechaun. Vanessa, you thoughtful, bedazzled werewolf. And Kembos, you sweet, loyal fae queen. Thank you three so much, Ring Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. And before we leave, our card pull today is Jealous from the Roast Iconic Oracle. Do they have what you think you want, or are you just stuck in a shameful compare and despair cycle? What is for you will not pass you. All right, witches. That's all I've got for you today. Don't forget, any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything we reference can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Okay. Bye.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull, can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.